Good afternoon, Lisa.
Hi, Mick.
Thanks for joining us on 2SER.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Must be always pretty exciting when a brand new book is written and it's published and it gets onto the shelf. It was only from yesterday. What can you tell us about your brand new book, The Art of Friendship?
This book is actually inspired a little bit by a friendship that I had. And I'm sort of thinking about this friend that I used to have who had disappeared out of my life. And I started asking online, I put it out online and said to my Facebook friends and my Instagram friends and sort of said, yeah, has this ever happened to you? Has anyone from your life ever disappeared? And I got heaps and heaps of people writing to me and chatting with me about friendships that have gone wrong. So it was kind of, it's not based on a true story as such, but inspired by that.
I guess a lot of people have those experiences of friends. And I know I've got my own ones where you have those really close friends when you're a child, and you start growing up. You meet somebody, you might have kids, and all of a sudden they're not the friends you thought they were, or maybe they're on a different plane, a different trajectory.
Yeah, I think you're completely right about that, Mick. And lots of the stories that people reached out and told me about were particularly around about the time they either got married or had children. So if one of the friends went on to have a family and the other one didn't, that sort of put a bit of tension for some people into their friendships, because obviously when you get married and have kids, you have different priorities perhaps in your life. And other friend who may not have gone on to have a family can sometimes end up feeling a bit left out, a bit isolated and not included. So, yeah, I heard lots of those type of stories. And that's kind of exactly what I explored in The Art of Friendship, is two women who are approaching their 40th birthday. So they were childhood friends. And they've lived apart, lived in different cities for much of their lives, much of their adult lives. But when they come back together, they've gone on quite different paths. And so they're really excited about living in the same city again. But once they reconnect, they find that maybe their friendship hasn't quite stood the test of time in the way that they'd hoped it would.
And I think a lot of people can relate to this sort of story, definitely. Do you explore anything in the book around social media and how people can stay connected even though they're apart by distance?
Yeah, that's definitely how Libby and Kit, who are the main characters, originally, because they are in their 40s, they start their friendship off in the times before social media exploded.
Yeah.
So when they're young and they're separated, they communicate via via letters. But of course, with social media becoming such a big part of their lives as they grow older, it makes it really easy for them to feel like they're connected and that they're still as close as ever, because they can be in touch every day via Facebook or text or just even via email. And so they still feel really connected to one another, but in fact they're actually presenting a side of themselves that maybe is not quite real. Mm. So they're sort of projecting an image of themselves to each other, and then when they meet in reality, it's maybe not quite the image that they've shown each other.
And I think we all do that, don't we? I mean, social media is one of those great ways of keeping in touch with people, but sometimes you pick and choose what you put online and what people are going to see about you, and we all do it.
Of course. I mean, we're not going to put our terrible photos of ourselves up for everyone to see, are we?
Well, maybe
or
we
when
should.
Our kids are being bratty or whatever, we put our best look forward on social media, I think.
I do know that I've got a certain, some people have different groups of things that they share their content with online. Sometimes they might be more honest with certain people and then have more of a veneer with other sort of people. I know the people who separate what they post and who they post it to. I think it's quite funny.
It's really interesting when you're seeing what both people are posting, and they're presenting quite a different side to the world to the one that you know. So it can be quite funny at times.
For sure. Now, you've said previously that as a young girl, your mother told you that boys will come and go, well, good friends are forever. Do you remember taking this on board, and do you still have those childhood friends today?
Yeah, I do. And actually, I'm a bit concerned about having written this book, because I'm hoping that my long-term friends, many of whom are coming to help me celebrate the launch of this book, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm having a little get-together with my really close long-term friends. I hope that after they read it, they don't be, they don't get the wrong idea and think that it's directed at any of them. But, I do think that that I did take that advice from my mum on board. My mother was someone who really valued female friendship or her close friends. She had a close circle of friends. And while she was happily married to my dad for, I'm not quite sure how long, but nearly 50 years, I think. So a really long-term, happy relationship. Yeah. But she still valued those female friends and impressed upon me that it's important to have relationships outside of your family because they bring something rich and different to you than things that you can't necessarily get from your partner or from your immediate family.
And conversely, do you think, through this book, have you come across childhood friends that maybe you lost connection with and then they reach out like out of the blue and go, oh, hi, I saw your book or I saw, you know, just wanted to reach out to you. Do you ever get that?
No, I have, not so much with this book, but just through being a writer and sort of being a little bit more in the public eye, that has happened to me over the past few years. But I am actually still in really close contact with most of my childhood friends. Right. So, and I've got friends that I'm in almost, you know, weekly or daily contact with who I've been friends with my whole life, and that is, you know, both in person and via social media. But I've also got friends that sort of drift off and go away for a year or whatever, but will fly back in at Christmas and give me a buzz. And actually, just the other day, I got a text from a really close girlfriend who is working. She works out in Far North Queensland, and she's not able to be contacted. Like, she's out of phone range. She finally got somewhere where she could get onto me and sent me this text saying, I'm going to come back in. I'll be here for your launch party and really looking forward to seeing you.
Oh.
It was really sort of uncanny because I'd had, like, not a great day that day. So it's funny how those childhood friends can turn up just at the right time sometimes.
Well, that's right. And maybe the characters in this book, Libby and Kit, of course, they've had that gap of 20 years or whatever it is, but they've been apart. Yeah. But maybe coming back into each other's lives, was it the right time or the wrong time? We don't know. We haven't read the book yet.
But I'm not giving you the answer to that one, Mick. That's a spoiler alert.
Of course. But it does happen. Like, sometimes it's serendipitous that someone comes back into your life, and sometimes it happens at the perfect time, and it might be almost just serendipity, like I said, that, you know, you get this person in your life and they can help you in some way or you can help them in some way. That's the wonder of keeping those connections, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think really with friendship, whether they're childhood friends or not, I think the most important thing is that sort of soul connection. So you can know someone your whole life but not really be totally connected to them. And yet, like, for instance, I've made a friend in the last 12 months who we just had an instant connection. It's a little bit like falling in love. Like, when you find the right friend, you know, you've got that chemistry together. So that's, you know, people don't have to have known each other for 100 years to actually have that really close bond. But I do think there is something about a shared history together that is special.
Yeah. I'd be really interested to know, actually, in your research for this book, if you would have seen some differences between how women maintain friendships and men. And I know this book's centered around women, but I've always thought that men are a little bit hopeless at making new friendships, just in general. You know, they cling on to these old friendships, which sometimes aren't the best thing. But I know, me personally, I struggle to make new friends.
Well, you know what? There's pros and cons to both, I think, because some of the things that I discovered in talking to people, and this is all anecdotal research that I did, but some of the things I discovered about men is that men are quite happy doing things with their friends. So men's friendships often are based around, you know, doing an activity like going to the football or going surfing together, maybe going fishing together, going camping together. And so those deep sort of soul connections, that's the word that I like to use, are maybe not quite as important as they are to women. Men are quite happy with company and, you know, a shared interest, whereas women, it doesn't seem to be enough. We might have people that we like to do things with, like we might have someone that we, for instance, go to the gym with, but for them to be a really called our, you know, close friend, we'd have to have something more in common. Mm. Something women tend to need conversation more than men do. I think that's the major difference. So you might be right. Like, my husband has got a group of friends that he still goes camping with every year, and they are all very different people these days, but they still seem to enjoy that. So I don't know whether it's sort of a good thing or a bad thing? I think there's a bit more maybe room for diversity in men's friendships. I'm not sure.
Oh, I think some of this may stem to men maybe not talking to each other as much as they should, but that's probably another conversation for another day.
Maybe.
But no, very interesting to talk to you. And the book, The Art of Friendship, should be out in all the good bookshops from today, from now. So if you can look out for it, by Lisa Ireland. It's out via a Pan Macmillan. Thank you so much for talking to us on 2SER today.
Thanks so much for having me, Mick.